Have you ever wondered if your company is maximizing the return of your data investment? Are you collecting the right data required to make informed decisions? Is there more that can be learned from our data? Coyus Institute can answer these questions and help you discover the hidden value within your data sets by utilizing a well-rounded approach to data analysis. Stop leaving value behind and start increasing the return on your data investment. The next generation of data analysis has begun. We are pioneers in pattern discovery. We are Coyus Institute.
All right, there we go. Good to see you, brother. How you doing?
Hey, brother. I'm good, man. I apologize.
Nah, no need to apologize. I appreciate you making the time for me, Tim.
Oh, I'm glad to do it, brother. What's going on? Where are we at?
Well, hell, man, a lot has happened since we last spoke. We've had David Grush, senior U.S. intelligence official, coming out on the record with our friend Ross Coulthart and, you know, making the claim that these classified programs do exist within the U.S. defense and intelligence apparatus. Yep. And they're housing and studying non-human vehicles. These claims have now become pretty commonplace. We've even had Senator Marco Rubio recently in relation to first-hand witness testimony confirming Grush's claims about classified retrieval and reverse engineering programs, and I think people just want to know what the hell is going on. So what have you been doing recently to try and get more answers on this?
Well, of course, we're trying to get our committee hearing going, and hopefully that'll happen end of July, where it's what we're shooting for, and the committee will have to make that designation and name that time and place. But, and of course, there's blowback. Of course, there's people trying to, you have staffers trying to decide what's legitimate and what isn't. It's really not their job to do. And that's part of the problem with the so-called swamp. You've just got these people that are entrenched bureaucrats, unelected bureaucrats, and we allow them to do it. And so, you know, and I've said, look, if they don't allow me to do this hearing, we'll just do it in my front yard here in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Hey, you got the space for it. You got the space for it.
I got the space for it. You can bring the satellite trucks in. You can do whatever you want to. And so we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. I say we'll do it here in my front yard, but we'll find a hearing hall in D.C. and we'll just do it like we want to do it. And so, because I don't want it to become a partisan thing, and people are sick of it, sick of all that. And this is not a partisan issue.
No.
And, you know, and Grush, I want to get him there to testify. I would love to have him there. Honestly, he's, how many of these guys are going to have to come forward, you know? Bro, how many of them are going to have to come forward? And before we say, hey, something's going on. And there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a heck of a lot of smoke.
Well, this is something that I've brought up, and a few other researchers have brought up, is that David Grush, his claims, they're not inside a vacuum. In fact, they're just bolstered by decades of testimony from high-level military and government and intelligence officials. This is stuff that's not widely known to people. So, of course, David Grush coming out on the record kind of looks like the first example of someone making these types of statements. But
sure.
The truth is, there's actually a history to this.
Well, you know, Bob Lazar, I don't know Mr. Lazar. I have no reason to doubt or say what he's saying is the truth. I have no knowledge of him personally. I mean, I've seen a lot of his videos and stuff, but, you know, they said Area 51 didn't exist, and he came out and said it did, and here's what's going on. And then they've discredited him, and, you know, and he's an obscure kind of guy. You know, obviously has some sort of scientific background, and they said he didn't work there, and they produced pay stubs, and of course he did work there. And then they said, well, he just was a guard or something. You know, it's just the classic government stuff, and I don't trust our government. I don't trust anybody's government. It's just too many layers of bureaucracy and too much corruption. I don't care who's in power.
Mm. Well, I mean, you've been pushing on this quite a lot recently. Have you or any of your colleagues had pushback or threats to stop pursuing this?
You know, I don't know about the threats or not, but the pushback is there. It's just that, you know, we can't do it. Then when I talk to the speaker and the chairman of the committee, and they in fact say, yeah, you're the guy. I mean, you've heard Chairman Comer say that I'm heading it up. And he said that on the national news. And I was sort of glad he did it, and I was sort of aggravated that he did, because everybody's calling me saying, are you going to do this? Are you going to have this person? And there's so many different groups in the UFO community, or UAP, whatever. I think UAP is just another attempt to throw us off. I honestly think that's just some bureaucrat's idea to throw us off the trail and kind of water it down. You got to re-educate people on what a UAP is. Oh, okay. Well, you know, nobody knows what that is. Everybody knows UFO.
It becomes a little bit harder to claim they're unidentified when you've got people within the intelligence network saying we have their vehicles and bodies.
Yeah. And I mean, they said, oh, Burchard, I can buy, they might have a saucer or some kind of crap. Why would they have a body? You know, I can't buy that. And I said, well, who the hell's going to fly the dadgum thing? You know, let's get a real, I don't know. I just, a lot of frustration on my part. And I knew I'd be getting into it, because it's not like, oh, hey, we've been hiding this thing since 1947. We're going to pursue it even more. So, Merchant's going to hold a hearing. They're going to turn it loose. And everybody's like, oh, bring all the people out, all this stuff. And I was like, no, it ain't going to happen that way. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to have a hearing, and we're going to bring people in who have firsthand knowledge and maybe can scratch the surface. But it's going to take a lot of digging to get to the bottom of this thing. Because this is, you know, you're burying it for decades. And then now all of a sudden, in a 2-hour hearing, we're just going to disclose the whole thing. They're not going to turn loose that any more than they are going to turn loose the Kennedy assassination files.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. It's going to be a long haul process. And, you know, we've seen over the last few years, basically from 2017, it has been a bit of a tug of war and a bit of a process, a gradual acclimation of this information. And, you know, it does feel like the temperature's been turned up a little bit with people like David Grush coming out and the apparent firsthand witnesses that have spoken to individuals that Marco Rubio has referenced. So do you have any optimism for some relatively bold claims and information to come out within, let's say, the next year?
Yeah, I do. I do. It's too much is coming out now.
Yeah.
They can't keep their finger in the dike anymore. And so we're hopefully going to cut this thing loose a little bit. And I think, but we have to be real careful about the two things I worry about are misinformation or disinformation. And the government saying, hey, we see this now, let's get funding to study it. And my point is, they don't need to study it. Just turn loose what they got and let the American public decide, and quit trying to spoon feed us because we can't handle it. And because that just, that infuriates me. I just this arrogance that we have in Congress or in government that we're something more than we're not, and we're just we're a collective bodies of people that are elected by our constituents to come down there and do some good, and most of the time we can't pull water out of boot if the instructions were written on the heel. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm not overly frustrated. I'm not overly excited about the prospects of a hearing either. I would like to see us get one under our belt that's legitimate and have some of the people in there.
There's been rumors floating around about the potential for a joint hearing between the House Oversight Committee and the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. You're able to comment on whether that's going to happen or if it's a possibility?
I haven't heard anything about that. Mm-hmm. And that's news to me. That's Washington stuff. And you got to watch that stuff, because you've got staffers that are upset that I'm pushing this thing through without their blessing. And they take a lot of, they pride in ownership. All of a sudden we're in the majority and, you know, they think they're going to be telling us what to do. And I'm just, I don't care. They don't vote for me, I'll expose them. I'll call them out. I'm sick of it. I'm not going to play that game. We're going to have a legitimate hearing. It's not going to be some partisan thing about the Chinese spy balloon or any of that stuff. It's going to be legitimately about what's going on right now in the UFO world. And let's just let it fly. Because if you want to keep the the talk of a cover-up. Let's go down that partisan route. Let's talk about spy balloons. Let's talk about discrediting every witness that we have instead of bringing them in. Let them speak their piece and then let the public decide.
Yeah, I think one of the issues is that there's not enough public knowledge on this. I mean, speaking from the perspective of a British citizen, I was out with a friend the other week. He'd come to the city I live in, Nottingham, for the first time. So I wanted to take him out to a nice bar. We got this really old pub called Ye Old Walk to Jerusalem. It's this very old pub where they apparently planned some of the Templar Crusades at that area before moving on into Jerusalem. So it's a really great spot. And we were sitting down having a couple of drinks, and we're both interested in the subject. So we were talking back and forth about everything. And there were these two guys that were sitting near enough, I guess, to hear us talking. And as we were about to leave, they were like, what are you talking about? And so we quickly sat back down and I explained. And I've got a bit of a PowerPoint presentation in my head these days for people who don't know about this stuff. I'm just like, well, back in 2017, the New York Times put out a front page article, blah, 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 and go down the whole line of developments that we've seen over the last few years. And Tim, they didn't have a clue. They had no idea that any of this was happening. They could barely even believe me. So that's another issue, is that the media, the international media, I mean, you've just had a guy, David Grush, senior U.S. intelligence official, National Reconnaissance Office, National Geospatial Intelligence Agency, literally say point blank that we have vehicles being studied that are non-human, that we've got bodies, and it has barely even bounced across the media.
Now, that's true. And that's just part of the cover-up. It's just, it's beyond me. It is completely beyond me. That is the story of a lifetime. Somebody produces that, and I get it. They've been had so many times. But you know, dadgummit, that's their job, is to weed through that stuff. Like the committee's job is to weed through this stuff, not to decide who's telling the truth or who isn't or who's credible or not. And I made the statement about David Grush. You know, maybe in Washington, D.C., it doesn't mean that much that he's a decorated veteran. I'll tell you where, in Tennessee, it means a whole heck of a lot. And we hold our veterans very near and dear to our hearts. I mean, in Tennessee, Alvin York, the most decorated man for World War I, is from Pall Mall, Tennessee, just up on the Cumberland Plateau. I mean, you know, we have a storied past and our veterans. And to think this guy's being discredited, to me, is beyond. And really, that's what they're doing, is discrediting by not going with the story and calling him up and saying, hey, 60 Minutes, let's talk. You know, I mean, 60 Minutes, I throw that out there, but 60 Minutes did do the Tic Tac videos. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I give them a lot of credit, and didn't editorialize. They just let the Navy pilot, they showed the video and let the Navy pilot. You know, the history on the Tic Tac video was they said that didn't exist. And then they got released, and they said they were fakes. And then they come out later and said, in fact, they're true. And then they reproduced the pilots, and it turns out he's one of our top pilots in the world. I mean, he's our top guy. He was the man that did it, and or the men, I guess. There's a couple of them on there. But why those people aren't brought into intelligence committee meetings, and to me, just adds to the cover-up. I think people have been compromised, I think, at the highest level, whether it's through financial or, you know, the old honeypot where they're at a motel or at a bar somewhere and some pretty thing comes up and starts flirting with them. Next thing you know, they're in bed with them. Next thing you know, they're on film and they own them. And they're going to wreck their marriage and wreck their careers. And if they don't do what they say, and they get close to the edge and they get that phone call and they say, not on this one. And they roll it back a little. And I think that's happened quite a few times.
Well, there's even been some talk from some of these firsthand witnesses that are hesitant to speak in fear of their own families being in danger. So there's a genuine level of fear from some of these insiders who are close to these programs that it could actually be fatal in some ways to talk about this.
Yeah, I told my wife, I said, if I commit suicide by shooting myself in the back of the head three times, know that that it probably isn't suicide. You know what I mean? Because that's a joke, but I mean, you're talking billions of dollars of technology that could be gained from these things, and putting them into the public domain is not what corporate America wants, or the world corporation. I guess it's more than America. It's a corporations without borders kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
You know.
Absolutely.
I think there's a level of insight within that particular umbrella that knows about this subject and has vested interests in, I think, as you just touched on, the energy methods, the propulsion systems. I actually think, and I'm not alone here, I think a lot of people within the research field feel the same way, that we have managed to develop vehicles and technologies that use very, very exotic propulsion and energy methods, and that the UFO issue, the whole idea of alien visitation, although it probably is true, could also be a very good smokescreen for hiding your own classified aerospace platforms, because you can just say, hey, that's a UFO. We don't know what that is. Turns out it's actually a Lockheed Martin Skunk Works prototype.
Yeah, and I could see that being very accurate, very accurate. And it's even more so if they reverse engineered something like that. So it's just, to me, it's there's a lot of questions there.
Yeah, do you think that this is actually more in the corporate level than it is in the governmental program place?
I think there's very limited knowledge in the government entities, and it has been passed on to corporate levels. And at that level, it's very few, and the dots have long been disconnected. So there's no real, I mean, people have died long time, maybe not untimely. I mean, they just, their time's run out. You know, you're talking something since the 40s, so. There's nobody alive that could connect those dots, obviously. And now they're now some things are coming out and nobody can go back and say what it is. And I mean, you've got this material in a lab somewhere and these people are analyzing. They don't know where it came from. They're just analyzing it.
What do you think of the statements recently by Congressman Mike Gallagher? Because he was on a couple of podcasts not that long ago where he was speculating as to whether this could be humans from the future or perhaps even the remnants of an ancient civilization. Do you think either of those ideas are plausible?
Maybe the second one. Yeah. I don't know. That's a little much for me. I can't quite do the time travel thing yet. I think if it was happening, we'd be seeing a lot of things. I'd go back to 1962 and get me a Ferrari GTO, and I'd stuff the glove box full of Fantastic Four number one comic books, and then I'd come back here and just retire.
What do you think of Arrow at this point? Because you've been a bit vocal. I've had you on a couple times. It's been quite a cynical view of Arrow. What do you think of them right now, the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office? Are they legit, or are they part of some form of subtle cover-up?
I don't think they're... I think probably the vast majority of the people in it are legit, but I think it's being used as part of the cover-up. Mm-hmm. I think I've heard too many stories about them studying stuff that's obviously doesn't need to be studied, but they're... It runs them down a different rabbit hole. And so that's, and I think you have intentional leaks. And I think that plays into all of it. Now, I just don't have a lot of faith in anything in our government dealing with this issue.
Does make you wonder why the Department of Defense basically gave David Grush permission to come out and say the things that he was saying, because a lot of people have said, oh, you know, it just went through a review, as long as it's not classified, they give it a stamp of approval and let him say what he wants to say. But he's talking about some seriously disruptive things, and apparently, according to the ICIG, like, this is worth looking into. They've actually started doing background and confirmed some of the statements made by Grush. Why do you think the DOD essentially gave him a green light? The whole idea of the cover-up, it makes it feel as if there's factions, that there's some elements of the DOD that want this out. There are some elements that don't. I mean, how do you make sense of this?
It's like, wait, I mean, you don't have it in England, I don't guess, but if you call the IRS and you wait on the line for 12 hours and finally get an answer, and then you write it down, and then you better write that person's name down and document everything, because you call back and get a different answer. I think that has a lot to do with it. I think it's just so big, and that it's so broad spread, that you've obviously somebody's scratching their head somewhere going, why in the world did we let this guy get out?
If they had anything to discredit him with, I feel they would have done it already.
I do too. That's I'm a little shocked about the whole thing. He's pretty much a square egg, man. Everything I've heard about him, I mean, I know him. I mean, we chat. I mean, we don't hang out or go vacation or anything, but everything I've heard on him is legit. And the people in the know that I trust behind the scenes say, in fact, he's legit.
Do you have the clearance to talk to him in an official capacity?
Yeah, I think I have to do it in a skiff, though, for him to tell me anything classified. Of course, anything he's talked about publicly that he's released on, I'm just like any other citizen, but I have those clearances, and that creates a lot of problems. But, you know, but the problem is you don't know what questions to ask and where to ask. I've got to get that information. It's a moving target. It's like, bunch of these congressmen, let's get a CODEL, a congressional delegation, go to Area 51. Like, what are you going to do there? I mean, there hadn't been anything there since Wright-Patterson. I mean, Roswell, they took everything there, and then they went to Wright-Patterson, Wright-Pat, as they call it. They took it there almost immediately. And then you don't know where it was there, and then it was disseminated who knows where. And it's like the Indiana Jones warehouse picture. So you just don't know. It's just we need some clarity, and I don't know what else to do, who else to ask or what else to, but I'm trying. And everybody calls and wants me to bring somebody else to ask somebody else to the committee, but I'd like about a half a dozen people at the committee and just let them all say their little 5-minute spiel and then let people start asking them pointed questions.
It's a tough one, man. Like you were saying earlier, this is bipartisan, which is a really good thing because at this time, especially in, I would say, the American political landscape, you know, bipartisanship's a pretty rare opportunity to reach across the aisle and just like actually agree on something that's really important. And I think that this will continue to progress, but I will begrudgingly admit that there's certainly a lot of intelligence community interference and there's a lot of pushback. And I was actually, because I had Ross Coulthart on literally last night for a talk, which is coming out tomorrow. And we were talking about this whole 6-month time span that's being given to government agencies and contractors in regards to the release of information and materials relating to this non-human intelligence and the technology. And I said to Ross that this just gives them 6 months to hide all of their shit, which, in fairness, he acknowledged, but then responded with something that he hasn't said publicly before, that he's been made aware by multiple sources of a vehicle that's being studied outside of the US that apparently, and this is again from multiple what he believes to be trusted sources, a vehicle that's so large they had to construct a building over it to surround it, hide it, and study it secretly, and it's quite literally too big to even be moved.
That would actually fit into some of the a sighting that a good close friend of mine had when he was in the Navy back in the 50s. That would fit into that.
Yeah, you remember me mentioning this last time. It was the size of a, oh God, what do you say, like a carrier ship.
Yeah, and it was over. It literally blocked out their view while they were sitting on a ship, on a destroyer, I believe. So it was, he said it was 2 city blocks if it was a foot. So who knows? I mean, you know, I don't know. But we're gonna have to.
Is he still around?
Yeah, he's still alive. I need to get him out talking about it.
Yeah.
Trying to maybe get somebody to get a record a thing and get an affidavit throwing on what happened.
You tell him if he ever wants to come and tell the story to people, I'd be more than happy to host the man.
I'll work on it. Oh, he's an older guy. He's a good guy, though.
Yeah.
But
no.
Anyway, well, brother, I appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you too, man. We all do. We all appreciate the effort you're putting in. It's not easy going against the grain, and that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I am. But I appreciate it. Mayor got a lot of support to do it. A lot of good folks all over the world.